May the Lord help us to commence by singing from the hymn sheet. Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God. He whose word cannot be broken, formed thee for his own abode. On the rock of ages founded, what can shake thy sure repose? With salvation's wall surrounded, thou mayest smile at all thy foes. Hymn on the hymn sheet, number 372 in Gadsby's.
Thank you. We will read together from God's holy word. Two readings this morning. The first, Psalm 17. The 17th Psalm. Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. Show thy marvellous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee, from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. From the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. They are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly. They have now compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the ground. Like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down. Deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword, from men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world, which have their portion in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure. They are full of children and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Now the first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 15. We'll begin reading at verse 35. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 15, and we will begin reading at verse 35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body, as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies, and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonour. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown as a natural body. It is raised as a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and after that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. May God bless that reading of his holy word to us and teach us how to pray. Most merciful, kind and gracious and almighty Lord God in heaven, we do come with a thankful heart this morning as we enter into thy courts on another Lord's Day. We do thank thee, Lord, for this favour and privilege of gathering round thy word. But oh, we do pray that our hearts may be set on things above, that we may know that liberty as we worship thee, that there may be that love of Christ stirred up in our hearts, that we may worship thee this day in spirit and in truth. Lord, oh, we may have the desire in our minds. Oh, how we need thee to come and enable and enliven our hearts. We need thy quickening power. We need thy gracious influence within our hearts. We plead for thy Holy Spirit to come and order all our worship this day. We pray, Lord, that thou would have mercy upon us, for our worship will be mixed with sin. But oh, we do pray, Lord, and thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ sitting at the Father's right hand. And we do thank thee for that intercession. We thank thee, Lord, that though there is sin mixed with all we do, yet our prayers and our worship, when perfumed and sprinkled with his merits, how acceptable to the Father they are. And then, dear Lord Jesus, do bless us with the sense of thy gracious presence this day, that we may have that eye of faith to hear thy voice and to see thee standing in our midst. There are those, Lord, with things in their pathway. Lord, we each have those things that concern us. Some, Lord, may have great mountains. Some may have hard things lying before them. Oh, we do pray that each one of us may be enabled to cast all our care upon thee, that we may be drawn to thy feet this day, to that throne of grace. Oh, that we may lay all our needs, our souls, those providential cares, all things at thy feet, and pleading that thou would undertake for us. We seek thy gracious wisdom in all things. Pray for thy divine direction in our lives, and thy influence, Lord, over our circumstances. We plead, Lord, that thou would grant us that instruction. Oh, may any seeking direction this day be granted a word in season. May it be this is the way, walk ye in it. Do open those right doors then for us, close wrong doors. Grant us that spirit of submission and humility. And Lord, that strength to walk it out. We do thank thee, Lord, for the multitude of thy mercies. We look back at a week gone by, and we think of all those things that have come to pass in our country thus far. Lord, in all the turmoil that prevails in government at present, we do thank thee that thou art still on the throne, and thou dost sit on no precarious throne, and thy thoughts move on their undisturbed affairs, and thy will is being fulfilled. O Lord, we do pray that thou art help us as a country, we pray. And we do thank thee, Lord, for that answer of prayer. Oh, but we do pray that thou art lead us as a country, that we may see better days in our land. Oh, that thy work may appear, that there may be those put in high places who fear thy name. And Lord, we do pray that thou art grant us thy gracious help, and take not thy Holy Spirit from us. Lord, may there be that turning unto thee, we humbly pray. Lord, we do pray that the enemy may be kept from us as we walk out our little lives here below. And we think of all the sin that abounds in this country. And we pray, Lord, that thou art in much wrath remember mercy. May there be an overturning of wrong laws, a bringing in of right laws. And may all these things we are passing through at present fall out rather to the furtherance of the gospel, the building up of Zion, the prosperity and good of Zion, we pray at large. So do favour us, we pray. Remember us with the favour that thou bearest to thy people. Visit us with thy salvation. We think of our little denomination. We think of the causes of truth. And we think of that one church up and down the land and throughout the world. We plead thy outpouring of thy Holy Spirit amongst us. And that the word preached may be clothed with power from on high. We pray, Lord, that thou remember us here this day. Remember this church and people as they meet week by week. Do bless them and grant thy gracious help as they journey onwards. May thy glorious gospel ever be faithfully proclaimed from this pulpit. May there be a seed to serve thee, to call thee the Redeemer blessed till the end of time. A cause of truth here. And Lord, and do build them up in numbers and in grace. Gather in from the congregation into the church. Gather in from the neighbourhood, Lord, we pray, if it could please thee. And bless us indeed. So we do thank thee for all thy mercy. Oh, we plead for mercy. We think of the young children growing up, the young people, those with changes in their lives, those, Lord, that have recently been married, those that hope to be married, those, Lord, with decisions, those who have taken exams waiting for results, those with choices to make. Oh, Lord, do grant them thy gracious help. May they commit their way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And maybe, Lord, there are those who have disappointments, loneliness, trials and temptations. Oh Lord, we do pray to be with them in a special way. Those who have sought thee long, Lord, may this be the glad hour. And may they hear thy voice, send forth thy light and thy truth. Set the prisoners free, set the captives at liberty. Unstop the deaf ears, open the blind eyes. Loose the tongue, we pray. They may be able to declare what thou hast done for their souls. O Lord, may the love of Christ be shed abroad in each of our hearts. May our hearts be moved with love divine, that love that constrains, that compels. O Lord, we plead, have mercy upon us. Remember that we are but feeble flesh. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, we pray. Keep us by thy grace. Hold us up, hold us fast. Keep us close to thee. Cause us to lean upon thee. Cause us to trust thee more. Oh, teach us to love thy person most sweet. Oh, may we know, each one of us, a personal revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. May each one of us be brought to trust in his grace, pleading that precious blood that did for sin atone. Oh Lord, we plead for mercy. Leave none to be building on anything short of Christ. May we not be found building on a sandy foundation, but may it be Jesus Christ and him crucified, our only hope, a risen an exalted Saviour, sitting at the Father's right hand. then do bless us, we pray, this day. And may we leave different to how we came this night. May it be said in our hearts, it has been good for us to be here. O Lord, have mercy, we pray, and pardon and forgive our every sin. Wash us in the Redeemer's blood, as we ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 348. Thy purchased people, gracious Lamb, thou never canst forget. The piercing nails have wrote their name upon thy hands and feet. Hymn 348.
Me to Psalm 17, and with the Lord's help this morning, I'll speak to you from the last verse, verse 15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Psalm 17, verse 15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. David here sets himself apart from those in the preceding verse, these men of the world. He says, as for me, he's looking beyond the things that are troubling him. He's writing this psalm. He has enemies, real enemies. He's in real trouble. Yet, spiritually, he's in a good place. He's seeking all his help from God. He's looking beyond these earthly troubles. He's looking over and above those mountains that are before him in his life. And he gets to this final and sweet and blessed conclusion, having been persuaded in his life that there is a rest that remains for the people of God, his eyes are fixed on it. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. Where was it in David's life that he truly beheld it? Well, wasn't it at the altar? There will I meet with thee, in the house of God. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Why? For there the Lord has promised to meet with his dear people. And David, how he longed to be there in his life. Often he wasn't able, especially when Saul was hunting him and he was hiding at times in caves and dens. Yet his eyes were, and his desire was to be found in the house of God and to behold his face in righteousness, to there see by faith a glorious Messiah, his only hope. And beloved friends, the only hope for needy sinners, as for me. There's a beautiful resolve in this theme in David's heart, isn't there? Right through this psalm, there's a gracious resolve. He set his mind by the grace of God, but his mind is set on doing what's right. He says, concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Hold up my goings. He looks back and sees how the Lord has kept him. And he's been upheld. And he's been strengthened. He's looking back and then he looks forward. He's not achieved, he's not attained, he's not made it. There's the untrodden steps of his life. Oh, he says, hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. The gracious resolve in his heart to do right, to live a right life, to not speak. I have purpose that my mouth shall not transgress. Well, be a wonderful thing if that was your intention and mine. We know we may have good intentions. And good intentions are one thing, but oh, how we need the Lord to sweetly enable us. But oh, to have that intention in your heart, to have that planted in your heart, Well, what is it? Isn't it not a heart that's made soft? Is it not that humble and a contrite heart that would do right, that would obey his laws? That heart that would live tenderly and fearfully before God. No presumption that they're able to, but the intention's there. Why? Because there's love. There's love stirred up, put into that heart. The affections are drawn heavenward. And like as a child desires to please its father, so the Lord's dear children, their right desire, that in their right mind, that they have this gracious resolve: I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Oh, but you see, David, he's been led thus far. He looks at those leadings of the Spirit. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me. Do you know a little of that? The Lord visiting you in the night. Maybe it's a visit and it's condemnation. Maybe it's a visit and it's not right. The Lord's showing you that you're not right, that you're not ready, that things aren't right in your life. You set off down a path and the Lord's visited you in the night season. Oh, you've been brought into a realization that this is a wrong path. This is not according to Scripture. This is not how the Lord would have me live. The word of Achan is, oh, you feel to be that Achan in the camp. The Lord is turning out your tent. Secret sins, hidden faults. And they're being unearthed. He's visited you. He's tried you. He's purifying you. There's dross to be burnt off. There's rubbish to be removed. And how vital it is. You see, you can't have the sweet persuasion of this last verse without entering into a little of the preceding verses. For David, he says, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Well, how can you be satisfied with something you know nothing of? How can your heart truly long for his likeness if you know nothing of it? Oh, you see, David has seen something. Something's been made attractive to him. He desires it. And it's more than that. His soul is satisfied with it. And all things are satisfied with it. And though the law condemns him as a sinner, yet justice is satisfied. For he sees the Lord in all his glory as the sinner's only hope. And he sees himself as a sinner, but looking away from himself. Ah, there's something that satisfies him. There's something. He's been taught over his life. He's been led here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. He's been taught. The Holy Spirit has been planted in his heart, and he's been taught these things. Yes, he experienced, didn't he, during his life, the hardship, the hard way, promised, given a sweet hope of a literal anointing to be king over Israel, and yet that word tried. You think of it, when David was that young shepherd boy, Samuel came and anointed him, that he would be king. And then he went to fight Goliath not long after. You'd have thought In his mind, it was all coming to pass. How the word of the Lord was tried. He had to wait many years and brought to be seemingly an impossible thing as he was hiding, being hunted for his... Saul sought to kill him. All things working against him. But the Lord's will, the Lord's purposes must be fulfilled. And you know, friends, some of you here, one of you here may have had a promise, had felt persuaded of something. The Lord had given you a sweet hope in something. And you thought you could see it almost coming to pass, and now it seems to be, oh, so distant, so impossible, that the word of the Lord is to be tried. Your faith must be tried. If it's real faith, if it's God-given faith, it will be tried, must be tried. And wasn't that the case with Joseph? The word, the Lord was tried, wasn't it? Until his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. There he was, languishing in that prison. He had that promise, that dream, but it seemed so impossible. The Lord had brought him so far from it. But there... that the Lord proved that with God all things are possible. Oh, then may you cling, may your faith be strengthened, may you be found pleading with Almighty God on mercy's ground, oh, for help and strength, and that he would give you that strength in faith. Despite what your outward eye would see, oh Lord, give me that eye of faith. For we walk by faith and not by sight. That's not just an idle word cast into the word of God. I firmly believe that every one of the Lord's dear children will have at some time in their life to prove that they walk by faith. And not by sight. Not least as a sinner, casting all his care upon God, his eternal soul. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. Oh, you say, when I look at myself, when I look at all the sins that abound, when I look at my poor profession, oh, there's no righteousness within me. My righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Oh, but how sweet it is to come up to the house of the Lord. Bow down under the weight and burden, but by faith be enabled to lift up your eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh your help? To be found looking away from yourself. Only the Lord can draw your eyes away from yourself. Only the Lord can draw your eyes to him. But oh, when it comes, when the Lord reaches out that kind and gracious hand and lifts your head up to look up to him and sets your affections on things above, draws you sweetly to behold him in all his beauty. Well, it's through a glass darkly at present. You know, we couldn't stand to behold him in all his glory. Not yet. Oh, one day, but not now. But it's through that glass dimly we view him. But it's satisfying to a longing, thirsty soul. Oh, when you come up to the house of God and you feel to be dry and barren and dead Oh, you want that living water. Lord, lead me to that fountain of living water. The Lord comes and pours in a little, draws you. You take a sip from that living water. How satisfying. How thirst-quenching. There's nothing like it. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. Oh, to look to him, and there to see a smiling face, smiling on you. Won't be a look of anger. Oh, those sinners brought trembling to his feet, daring not to lift up their head, like that publican, not so much as lifting his eyes into heaven, but smiting upon their breasts, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, and a merciful God grants a view by faith. It's a smiling Jesus that they view. Oh, there, a loving, gracious look. I've loved thee well, my child. Thou art mine. I shall be satisfied. Really, David here, in all the context of this, is speaking of passing through death. I shall be satisfied when I awake. He's speaking here of the awaking. And we read, didn't we, in our second reading, Paul writing to the Corinthians. And this so seemed to sum it up perfectly. You see, David, he was in a body of sin. You and I were in a body of sin. I wonder how many of the Lord's people, you know, sit in our chapels, and that they feel that they should expect not to feel to be in a body of sin. I wonder if they're expecting, while here below, to not be of the earth earthy. I wonder if they're looking for that as a sign that they truly are one of the Lord's people. But friends, you cannot receive that which is only to be found in heaven. There'll be a taste, a foretaste. Oh, that there'll be at times when the Lord will touch your heart and you'll look for your sin and you can't find it. Or such a hope is given that you feel, oh, you long to be in heaven at last. But it won't last. You've got to prove you're in a body of sin. And there's a conflict. And there is no rest here below. There is no rest here below. There's moments when the Lord, we taste that the Lord is gracious. Times to taste the Saviour's love. But there's times to the tempter's power to prove. Are you looking for perfection here below? You won't find it. Not in yourself. Are you looking to see a clean heart here? Are you looking to see a heart free from sin? The tempter having no power over you? You're looking for heaven. Friends, the first man of the earth is earthy. And that's you and me by nature. What a wonderful thing if we've got a hope in this second Adam. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, who lived a life that his dear children couldn't live. As is the earth. The first man is of the earth earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. Well, what are we? We're of the earth, earthy. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, and you have, haven't you? Every one of us bears this image of the earth, earthy. What a mercy if you had your eye open to see it, that you're of the earth, earthy. Because there's a vital point. You know, if the Lord shows you by his grace that you're of the earth, earthy, you will be fully persuaded that in that same state you cannot be found in heaven. You are not right. You are not ready. You're of the earth, earthy, and nothing that defileth can enter therein. What a mercy if you and I have had this work begun in us, to see that we're of the earth, earthy, and that you've borne the image of the earthy. Have you been led to see the Lord Jesus as your only hope? Has the Lord so touched your heart thus far that you can look back and you see there's been a change? Not one that you want to see fully, I grant you. You say, I'm not changed as much as I want to be. But has there been a change? Has that work begun in you? Has the Lord Jesus made a difference in your life? Have your heart been touched? You got to those points in your life, and you by the grace of God, you had to look away from those former lusts, the former sins. You saw them in what they were, and the wages of sin is death. And it weighed heavy upon you, and you felt an eternity before you, stretching out, and how unfit you were, and how the Lord was just in condemning you to hell, for that's what your sins deserved. The Lord has granted you a sweet hope in his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You've had to look to him. But for there, in that dear man, is your every need met. Oh, that there's been that gracious change in your life, and you've borne some image of him in you. Comes close, doesn't it? You know, do we have any of his likeness? You know, any of it? A crumb of it? Oh, what a mercy if there is. But do you desire it? That's the thing this morning. You say, I long to have, long that there would be more of Christ seen in me. More of his gracious walk, his humility, his grace. Oh, is it a concern to you that you haven't that? Oh, you say that I could see a difference, that I could trace it out in my life. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Oh, you see, one day, the robe of righteousness. You know, is that what you long for? You know, it's such an attractive thing, isn't it? To these who feel to be of the earth, earthy, and long not to be. It's a concern to them. Oh, that I was free from this body of sin. You like Paul, you cry out, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Christ Jesus my Lord. Why? Because he's wrought out this robe of righteousness. And this is the image, this is the likeness that David's longing for here. When I awake with thy likeness, that the life that the Lord Jesus lived would be lived for me, that it would be imputed. Imputed to me. This covering. You know, Adam and Eve in that garden, there's a searching word from the Lord went out. Where art thou, Adam? Where art thou? You know, and that's a word this morning to us, isn't it? Where art thou? You know, are you spiritually trying to hide in fig leaf clothing? Have you? What will you stand when you stand before him at that judgment day? Are you trying to weave out your own righteousness? Are you looking for these fig leaf clothings to hide you? There's only one garment, beloved friends. One wedding garment. The marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. None will be found in that great marriage supper in a garment that they have woven themselves. Friend, how camest thou in hither, seeing thou hast no wedding garment? It's got to be given. Nothing that you and I can do will ever satisfy the law. Will ever come close to satisfying. Oh, how short we come. Our best, even our best moments. Oh, there's sin mixed with them. Friends, everything comes short. Everything falls down. Nothing less than Jesus blood and righteousness, the sacrifice for sin, the life he lived, that he laid down. For without death, there is no remission of sin, and he laid down his life, and he offered up that sacrifice, and that robe, that garment, that the Father, he was satisfied. Oh, he was satisfied. David says, I shall be satisfied. Does it concern you, Lord, as I stand before thee? Will the Father be satisfied? The hymn writer says, I read my name upon his breast and see the Father smile. Oh, how could the Father smile on such a poor wretch who stands before his judgment seat because he sees his own beloved son. There's that clothing, that robe is put on him, and he stands as if he's never sinned. Oh, there's an attraction there, isn't there? The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. There's your plea. There's your foundation of your hope. Oh, but does your heart go out after that? That I can stand as holy and unblameable and unreprovable in the sight of God, clothed in that robe of righteousness. What a covering. What a mercy. It's priceless, but it's free. That is, isn't that an amazing thing? It's a priceless robe. It's a priceless robe. It's a robe of fine needlework. But it's freely given to them that ask. Oh, needy sinners, coming just as they are, not seeking to hide anything, but in that full confession, pouring out their souls before him, in humility and in confession, that confession of sin given by God, a heart made willing to unearth all of its filth, and there, not receiving condemnation, but receiving love. Oh, friends, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And David saw it. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Ah, justice will be satisfied. The debt that's due to me will be satisfied. For the Lord Jesus has laid down his life. He has paid the price. The debt is paid. The salvation of his people is secure. None can pluck them from the Father's hand. But the people of God are living out their lives. And they're walking it out. And it's in faith and it's in hope. And though it may be a sure and certain hope with them, maybe you've been given that full assurance, and what a mercy if you have. Yet you've not attained. It's not taken place. You haven't physically stood yet before that judgment seat. You've yet to see it come about. You've yet to hear that voice saying, come in, beloved of the Lord. Oh, you're yet to hear the Lord Jesus step forward and claim you as his own. Oh, by faith you may have heard him say it. But you'll hear it one day with your natural ear. You will. You will. You'll hear him. This is one of mine. Is not this a brand plucked from the fire? Plucked from the burning? Is not this a soul that should have been in hell? But I've plucked him as a brand from the burning. He's one of mine. Satan, it's one of mine. Father, forgive them. All the sins is one of mine that I lived my life for. This is one of mine that I came to this sinful world for, that I suffered for, that I bled and died for. This is one of mine that rose with me. Oh, Father, when thou didst raise me from that tomb, this soul was one that came with me. His name's in that book of life. Search it out. It's there amongst all those that are the called according to his purpose. Lord, let my name be found there. Oh, let my life, let me live the life of the righteous. Let me die the death of the righteous. Let me know those sweet experiences of thy people. Let me know the teaching of the Holy Spirit, the guiding in my life. May I be brought to the end of my days and to have that sweet assurance. Now, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, this is the Lord's people, the veil shall be taken away. And now the Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, friends, what a hope. What a hope for the child of God. What a hope the believer has, that despite all he sees amiss in his life, despite all that would oppose, despite what Satan would tell him, despite what his own fearful heart would tell him, despite what all his tremblings, that one day all of this will be over. Oh, there's a certainty. There's a foundation that cannot be moved. And a soul that has once tasted, no matter how small or how distant in their lives, you cannot taste the Saviour's love and be found out of heaven at last. Oh, friends, may your hope fix on that. May you seek for more tastes. You can't rest, can you? And if you're a living soul, you won't rest. You will mourn over it. You will want fresh tokens. Your desire will be, show me a token, Lord, for good. You'll continually have to come to the throne of grace, pleading for your cold heart, your hard heart to be removed. Oh, but may you be founded upon that rock. Because I live, ye shall live also. Oh, that though you're in a body of sin, and though you're fearful and trembling and weak at times, yet your hope of heaven isn't built on what you've done. Not built on your feelings. Your hope of heaven isn't in how you feel day to day. And what a mercy it isn't. And it's not built on what your thoughts are toward him. Though you may long for better thoughts, oh, how often your thoughts aren't right. But your foundation is in Christ Jesus. What he has done, what he has said, what he has promised, what he thinks. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. You say, how can he say it? Viewing me now, viewing me as a sinner at his feet. How could he smile upon me? Oh, thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Viewed in the Lord Jesus Christ, that the dear Lord's children, though wretched by nature, though weak and helpless and feeble and faint and fearful, yet they're loved with that everlasting love. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. To awake out of that sleep of death. Paul spoke of it, didn't he? He said that some will sleep and some will be, when that great trumpet sounds, some will still be alive. But in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Are you looking for that day? Are your eyes fixed on it? To be changed, to be freed from this bondage you're under. You've got liberty, don't get me wrong. The gospel has brought you liberty, but it's now a warfare, and you say, oh, I long for this tempest to be stilled. I long for this turmoil in my heart to be over. I long for this constant wrestling with sin and self to be done away with. And we shall be changed. Death is swallowed up in victory. What a prospect. What a prospect for the people of God. David viewed it by faith. Oh, may you and I have that view of it also. May we be able to say like David, as for me, with a measure of certainty, with a sweet persuasion, in hope. As for me, grace has made a difference. I once was of the world, like these worldly men, a man of the world. But as for me, there's been a but now. In Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Ah, sweet but now. And as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. And one final point. You know, David here is speaking of that death, but oh, you seeking, longing souls. Yeah, you're under that conviction of sin. You're in that place of darkness, captivity. You're held fast. You long to be set free. It's like this, you feel to be asleep. You need the Lord to come and wake you. Oh, but you say this. Oh, I've had a view of him. I don't despise and reject him. I see a beauty in him. I do desire him. Oh, and when? For it must be when, not if. Yeah, but when? Because I'm a poor sinner pleading on mercy's ground, and none shall perish there, none shall be turned away. And when the Lord awakens me out of this sleep, when the Lord awakens me and quickens me, and his Spirit enters in and makes me alive, oh, I shall be satisfied. Ah, oh, I shall be able to rest in him. I'll be able to enter by faith into that Sabbath of rest, resting from my own labours, bad or good, and I'll rest in what he has done. Oh, when the Lord awakens me, oh, then may it be so. May it be that glad hour comes, that the Lord awakens. Lazarus, arise. Lazarus, come forth. I shall be satisfied. I shall be satisfied. I will feel persuaded that though Satan is still present, he's defeated. Christ has the victory. Jesus Christ has set me free. And though there's the wrestling for the rest of my life, the foe is beaten. I shall be safe at last. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £690, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Parrish will address the Sunday School this afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. And Mr. Fred Ince is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Warren next Lord's Day. And there will be a prayer meeting for the members on Friday evening, God willing. The collections next Lord's Day will be for Christian concerns. Let us close with hymn 975. He comes, the Saviour full of grace, by ancient prophets sung, the smile of mercy on his face, and truth upon his tongue. Hymn 975.
Thank you.
may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.